Hey, Hannes, my new book, Bit to LAX, My Storyworthy Life, is finally coming.
Yes, on actual paper.
It's true.
It actually exists as a document, people. And it's full of great stories about your life as a flight attendant, filled with sex and debauchery and people dying.
There is some sex.
There's a little sex. You went to the Peace Corps.
People die.
There was, oddly enough, no sex in the Peace Corps. There was cancer. It's all sorts of crazy things going on.
Anyway, it's really exciting, folks. You can buy the book for only $10 over at storyworthypodcast.com or at storyworthymedia.com.
Hi, I'm Mike Schmidt from the 40-Year-Old Boy Podcast, and you are listening to Storyworthy with my friend Christine Blackburn and my new acquaintance, Hannes Finney.
Hi, this is Dean Hagelin from Chilpack Hollywood Hour, and I don't mean to spread a conspiracy theory, but you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and this is a best of Storyworthy.
Woo!
Our topic tonight, the best of
hookers and hackers.
Two things that really go together.
Well, only in the fact that they both start with H, and I think they're the same amount of letters, and then they end with
they're
an
S. They're almost the same. There's only two or three letters difference, but really, hookers and hackers, there's weirdness involved.
The good news is we're focusing on two incredibly talented men tonight. Mike Schmidt from The 40-Year-Old Boy.
Yes, yes.
And Dean Hagelin, who was on The X-Files forever.
Yes, and The Lone Gunman, and has had the podcast, The Chill Pack Hollywood Hour
forever.
I don't know, a million years.
Yeah, it's actually a great podcast.
Yeah,
I went and saw them live just a couple of weeks ago, downtown Los Angeles.
Oh, that's
They'll
awesome.
Podcast anywhere. They're rebels.
The podcast anywhere.
Well,
they're going to San Bernardino next.
I suppose that's us, though, aren't we? As we travel the land, the highways and byways.
Some might call us rebels. Some might call us whores or hookers.
The Storyworthy van of truth.
See, it's not hook. See, hook whores and hackers, that doesn't work. Hookers and hackers.
That works.
That's fantastic. And it's funny that you would say it's two men. It's like if we have a woman telling a hooker story, that would be... like, exceptionally, that would be its own best of.
Yeah.
Just right there. I just want to hear about
that. Would be your favorite show ever.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Okay, so Mike Schmidt is up first. And, you know, Mike is a comedian, Hannes, and he has an amazing podcast himself, The 40-Year-Old Boy.
Yes.
But also, he has a lot of fans.
Yes, he does. And he is intensely from Chicago.
Yes.
And now, as you probably know through the Facebooking, he's now married.
Yes.
And lives in, I believe, Port Washington, Wisconsin, which is outside of Milwaukee.
I don't know. That could be.
That is. And his wife is a diehard Packer fan.
Oh, well, then they're good people, I suppose.
They're good. Well, she's good people. He's a Bear fan, and therefore horrible.
Bear
although
down.
I feel sorry for him now. But, yes. Yeah, so, by the way, they're living in, I believe, in Port Washington or near Port Washington, which is where Screech was arrested in a knife fight. Remember Screech from what?
What? No.
This just happened.
Okay. I'm not even. No, I don't know who that is. Who is that?
From Saved by the Bell?
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay.
Oh,
I didn't know you were
Screech.
Referring
I thought you meant the Nobel Prize winning Screech.
You know, I don't really catch up.
Screech is like, he's like Cher
really,
and Madonna.
Is that right?
One
I don't
name.
Really know. Now, where would you find that out? That would be like a TMZ
thing? That was
thing,
all over the
Twitter,
interweb.
All over. Okay. I guess
was,
I just went right
Screech
over
Screech being arrested and the fact that they were like, he's in Wisconsin. He might as well be at the end of the earth. But anyhow, that's got nothing to do with it. Mike Schmidt, good guy, Chicago guy, Midwestern guy, talks like this. Well,
he's
he
at,
really
yeah,
like
he's
that.
At the In-Out Burger, and you know, a lovely hooker comes over and offers
well, you'll
services.
You'll hear all,
and you'll
about
find
it.
That out exactly.
But the 40-Year-Old Boy, awesome podcast.
It really is. All right, you guys, Mike Schmidt's story is coming up right now. Mike Schmidt is a comedian and a podcaster. In his show, like you said, Hannes is the 40-Year-Old Boy. You can find him on Twitter at the 40-Year-Old Boy. Or at his website, MikeSchmidtComedy.com. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Mike Schmidt.
All right, well, you know, my story starts, what if it went forever? It starts, well, it was Father's Day 2011, and I used to have a job at a graveyard security gig. I was the security guy in an apartment building, and I was bored out of my fucking mind there all the time. So in the middle of the night, I would eat because I'm fat. So it was like 1 o'clock in the morning on the weekend, and it was a Saturday night. And I said, well, fuck it, I'm going to In-N-Out, because I would justify to myself that at least that it was decent protein and good fast food. Even, but that's the shit you tell yourself when you're a fat guy. So 1 o'clock, I hopped out. And I had to leave. And again, I'm the guard, so I can't leave my laptop and my phone, because as I leave, the guard is off. So nobody's there to guard it. So I grab my stuff, I throw it in the car, and I bail. I have to lock up and hope nothing happens in the building, because then I'll get fired. So I split, and I head over to In-N-Out Burger on Langersham Boulevard. And I wind up in the drive-thru. I pull up to the front, I order my food. And if you've been in a drive-thru, you know there's always a scramble, because they hand you, especially In-N-Out. And I'm fat. I ordered like 9 beverages, which seems high. It was a Coke and a shake, and I didn't need a shake, but again, I'm fat, I'm getting salty fries, I gotta have a shake, I'm gonna have salty fries, I'm gonna dip them in there, yes, I'm fat. So, I get 2 drinks, and I hate their cup holder thing, because it's a weird, I hate that purse that the drinks come in, it's so stupid. So I go, give me the drinks. So I'm holding them in my hand, and they put my hamburger in a box, because I like it, it's like a little meat coffin. So I get a box of the lid, and I take that, and I pull out. Now, I could sit there and adjust everything in my car, but then I'm holding up the line. And if you know anything about In-N-Out Burger, late at night, there's 47 people in line, and they're just going to fucking honk and yell. And the last thing I want to do is fight there. Well, that's probably not the last thing I want to do, but it's on the list of last things I would want to do. So I need to pull out and just park my car and adjust. So I pull out, I turn left, and I'm on Langersham Boulevard. And I pull up to the curb, and I have to adjust. So I have 2 cup holders in my car, and there's a Propel sport drink, and then there's a water. By the way, do we get money for endorsing Propel? I'm an idiot. And then there's a water there as well. So I take those out, and I throw them in the seat, and I've got the hamburger, and I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to put that. Well, I got to put it on the seat behind me, and I grab my phone, and I drop that on the floor, and I'm disheveled. I'm disheveled because I've got food, and I just want to get back to work, and I realize I'm in a hurry. And as I reach down to get my phone off the floor, I see a shadow, and I hear somebody moving. But I don't look up, because I just don't really think about it. And all of a sudden, somebody opens my passenger side door, and they get in my car, and they close it. And I don't know who it is or what they're doing. And I'll tell you, you always say to yourself, well, I would never let anybody in my fucking car. Or the second anybody came in, I would go bananas. No, you freeze. You fucking freeze, because that's what I did. So the door closes, and I'm grabbing my phone, and I look up, and there's a woman sitting in my passenger seat. And I take a quick look at her. It's dark. There's shadows. But I can see that she's wearing a bra, like a sequiny, spangly bra and short shorts. And I immediately go, what the fuck are you doing? And she says, hey, baby. And I said, what the fuck are you doing in my car? She says, you pulled over for me. I said, no, I didn't. Get the fuck out of my car. And she says, can I touch you? I says, no, you can't touch me. Get the fuck out of my car. And she says, well, if I can't touch you, I have to think that you're a cop. I said, look, I got news for you. If I'm a cop, I shoot you in the fucking face the second you get in my car. Get out of my fucking car. And she stares at me, and I don't know what to do, because I'm not scaring her. And that's all I'm doing, is I'm yelling at her, trying to scare her. Because if a guy gets in my car at 1:30 in the morning, I just punch the fuck out of him until he dies or he runs. I mean, literally, that's how you would handle it. I would just hit him, fucking hit him, and then I would open the door and he would ooze out into the curb, and then I would drive off and eat my fucking hamburger proud. But she just sits there and stares at me. She's not fazed at all, and I'm yelling and I'm loud and I'm big. And that's all I'm doing, is I'm getting big. I'm like trying, you know what? It's like trying to scare a possum away from your garbage. Like, I'm just, get the fuck out of my car! And she's not flinching or blinking. If I had a broom, I would have been waving it in the air. Go! Shoo! Shoo, hooker! Because she's got to be a hooker, right? That's the only thing I think, that she has to be a hooker. Why else should she be dressed like that and getting in my fucking car for no reason? So I just get the fuck out of my car. And she says, it's $80 for everything, $60 for a blowjob. And I said, well, I don't want anything. I don't want any. I'm a married man. Get the fuck out of my car. And again, I'm a married man. Like, that's going to help at all. Like, that's in this negotiation. Oh, I didn't know that you were married. And she, good day, sir. And gets out and leaves. I think not. But I said, I don't care. I have to go to work. And she goes, well, I'm already at work, baby. I said, I know. Get the fuck out of my car. And I'm just gesticulating and I'm waving and I'm yelling. And she's sitting there perfectly still in her short shorts and her big fucking stacked Lucite heels. And she, because she looks, and I got to be honest, she's fucking hot. I mean, she really looks good. She might be 20. That might be generous. And she looks like she walked off the stage at Deja Vu and got right into my car. So as I'm yelling and she's looking at me, not even phased, a cop pulls up. And I freeze. And he's kind of like alongside me, but he drives slowly past me. He doesn't look at me. And then I realize he's just stopping in the center lane, and then he turns left to go to In-N-Out Burger and eat before they close. And then it dawns on me that I probably should stop screaming because all I'm doing is drawing attention to myself. And I can't, that's the thing, I can't even get him and say help because I have a hooker in my car. There's no way I'm getting out of it. And I can't even reach across her and open the door and shove her out because all she has to do is say rape and then I'm fucked. So I realize she holds all the cards at this point. So I tell her, I go, I calm down. I say, I'm not interested. I just, please, please get out of my car. And she says, okay, baby, but it's so cold. Can you give me a ride? And I said, what? She goes, I just need a ride up to Denny's. That's all I need is a ride to Denny's. And I say, all right, I'll take you to Denny's. I'm about to take a hooker to Denny's. Because what else do you do? I can't throw her out. I can't yell. I can't get a cop. I figure I'm fucking trapped. So I just start to drive. And Denny's is about 2.5 miles from where I am. And I pull out. I should tell you, I have never driven more safely in my life. I put on the turn signal. I white knuckle the steering wheel. Hands at 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock. And I pull out. And I'm driving super. I'm like 5 miles under the speed limit. And I look at her and I go, put your seatbelt on. And she goes, what? I go, I'm not getting pulled over with you in the car because you weren't wearing a fucking seatbelt. Put your seatbelt on. She goes, okay, baby. And she does. And I drive. And I'm going slow because I don't want anybody to even look in the car. Like, not even cops. I don't want real people to look in either because, again, I'm, at the time, 44 and fat in a winter coat in June because it's cold at night because I have thin blood. And she's 20 in a bra. You got to think she's got a gun in her ribs at that point if she's in the car with me, right? Either she's a hooker or she's a fucking kidnapping victim. Either way, it's not good. So I'm going as slowly as I possibly can. We come to the first stoplight, and there's another cop. And I'm just waiting for him to look in and see that this incongruous situation is happening. And I'm hoping, but I'm not hoping, and I don't want to get pulled over, but who knows? And then he just fucking doesn't do anything. He sits there. He lets the light change and lets me go through. So I pull through. It's silent in the car, and I just want her to get the fuck out of my car. I'm nervous. I'm freaking out, but I'm still a guy. So I look at her, and I go, did you say $80 for everything? And she goes, why? Did you change your mind, baby? I go, no, I didn't change my mind. But I'm just kind of wondering if that's what you said, and if what I just... Because again, folks, I've seen hookers before, and I'm always at arm's length, and I'm always curious, but now I've got a real live one in the fucking car. I've got to ask them questions, right? I've got to find out what's happening. It's like a real live Reddit AMA. I've got to get some answers. So she says, why did you change your mind? I said, no, I didn't change my mind. I just want to know what everything is. She goes, well, everything. I said, well, does everything include ass? And she says, no, baby, ass is extra. And in my head, I actually said, good. Like, good, because I'm now her business manager. Good. And I said, well, you really shouldn't call it everything if ass isn't included in the $80. And she didn't answer me. Because, again, I'm just nervous. When I get nervous, all I do is fucking talk. And all I'm doing is killing time. Just trying to talk and fucking get her out of my car. So then I said, well, wait a minute. You said $60 for a blowjob, $80 for everything. She said, yes. And I go, that's only a $20 difference. She goes, yeah, and I go, I think you're really underestimating the pricing there. If you're going to go 60 for a blowjob and 80 for everything, it should be a little more than that, don't you think? And she actually got a quizzical look on her face, and she's like, yeah, baby, I think you're right. So now I'm a pimp. All of a sudden, I'm creating new socioeconomic pricing tiers for a hooker in my car. And then it dawns on me. I'm like, what are you doing? Get her the fuck out of your car. So we pass another couple of lights. And I'm very careful not to go to other people and let them see what's happening inside the car. And we get to Denny's. And there are several entrances for Denny's. One, you can actually go to Burbank and go left and then turn into Denny's. But there's also an entrance that's kind of, it's illegal. But what you do is you do a quick U-turn and all of a sudden you're in Denny's and that's fine. So I pull over there. I've got the signal on and I'm ready to go because I just wanted to get the fuck out of my car. And I pull up and she actually says, you know, that's an illegal turn. And I said, yeah, I just want you. And she goes, well, aren't you going to get pulled over? You don't want to get pulled over, right? And in my head, I'm like, this hooker is smarter than me. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. So I, sure enough, I fucking pull up to the stoplight. The light changes and I turn left on Burbank. And then I immediately turn left into Denny's. And I don't park. I sit right in the middle, bathed in the light of all of the streetlights that are in the parking lot. And she reaches underneath her and she takes, because I have the Propel and the water in the seat. She's sitting on it the whole time. She threw it on the floor. And the people come out of Denny's, and I don't want them to see a hooker get out of my car. So I said to her, I go, wait, just wait. Stay here. So she sits in the car, which might be even worse that we're sitting there, but I didn't even think twice. So these dudes, three dudes, walk in front of the car, and they go over to like a silver Lexus. And, of course, they decide that it's time to talk in the Denny's parking lot. They're going to have a chat. And I look at her, and I'm tired of waiting, so I'm finally just like, I'm like, you can go. So she opens the door. She climbs out with those fucking ridiculous Lucite heels. And she reaches down, and she grabs the Propel off the floor. And she says, I'm going to take this, okay, baby? And in my head, I'm just like, well, you sat on it the entire trip. I think it's okay, because I'll tell you what, I like blueberry pomegranate, but I don't like blueberry pomegranate and hooker ass. I gotta be honest, that's never going near my mouth again. I'm gonna steam clean the entire fucking car, because you've been in the passenger seat for fucking 15 minutes. And by 15 minutes, I mean a half hour, 30 minutes, because the argument took 15 and the drive took 15 because I was crawling. And but she didn't even wait for me to answer, because all that went through my head, and she just opened the Propel and she drank it. And in my head, I'm like, well, I guess now it's really yours. It's like licking the last piece of pizza. Take it. And she goes, okay, baby. And she takes the Propel and she looks at me and says, happy Father's Day, baby. And closes my car door and walks over to the silver Lexus where the three guys are. She waves. She immediately puts her arms like around one of them and starts talking. And they start laughing and then they all hug her. And all four of them climb in the Lexus and drive off. And I sat there, I teared up, I won't lie, I teared up, because I was so freaked out about what had just happened. And also, it just seems so sad. It seems so sad. She was maybe 20. And I'm shaking, physically shaking. And it was the Happy Father's Day that got me. Because in her life, if she had anybody that she could actually say that to and mean it, she's probably not jumping into cars with strangers at 2 o'clock in the morning in a parking lot.
And we're back. I do love that story, partially because of so many North Hollywood local landmarks in it. Your In-N-Out Burger, your Denny's, where Sherry and I have eaten many, many plates of Moons Over My Hammy.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I've never been the kind of person that goes to a fast food restaurant late at night, just like pulls in an In-N-Out Burger and start eating. Like if I know I'm going to be in bed within an hour, I'm not going to eat a meal.
Well, to quote Mike Schmidt, when he did this, he said, because I'm a fat guy. He got like all sorts of stuff because he was fat. And now he's lost like 100 pounds since then. And he's done a gastric bypass and he's done all the work. And he's 100 pounds. He's lost more than that.
More than that, yeah.
He looks good now. But when he did this, he was the guy who got like three, you know, burgers and shakes and fries and all that shit.
And you just think nothing of it, or you just didn't care, I guess.
It's just what he did. It's what he did. Like somebody might say to you, they might say, how can you listen to five Neil Young albums in a row? And you go, what are you talking about? I like Neil Young. Well, he likes In-N-Out Burgers.
No, I get it. That's it. His thing. This is fascinating.
Now, I have to point out, because I was listening to this, you know, getting us up to date on this story. And in the conversation previously, this was, I don't know how I passed this by when I heard it the first time. We were talking about this $80 for everything, $60 for a blowjob.
Right.
And then it turns out the everything does not include ass.
Which doesn't make any sense.
What might make any sense.
It's not everything.
But then you said, when we originally heard this story, you said, yeah, or like everything, it would be like extra, extra is like coming in your hair.
I didn't say that.
No, you said that. You said coming in your hair, that would obviously be extra. And at the time, I don't know how I didn't go, Hold it. Wait. What are we doing? Why did that even come up? Like, that would never be on my radar of hookerdom.
Well, some people enjoy that, I think.
I guess, but the question is, who do you, you know, is this a question? If you had to have this discussion with people?
Well, I just remember the movie Leaving Las Vegas, okay? And
yeah.
It was Elizabeth Shue, and
yeah.
She was with this John in a hotel room, and he said, you know, they were working out the deal, and she said, just don't come in my hair, because she doesn't want to have to get ready again. You know, men have to understand, it takes a long time to get your hair a certain way, and if there's cum in it, then you've got, like, there's something about marrying situation.
Yes, exactly. Okay, good. This is the explanation I wanted, so it's Leaving Las Vegas is where this came up from.
All right, you guys, we've got another storyteller coming up in just a minute. But before we do, I would like to remind you guys that you can follow Storyworthy on our Twitter at Storyworthy, or of course on Instagram at Instagram.
Yes.
And then, of course, we've got StoryworthyPodcast.com.
Yes, and also we've got StoryworthyMedia.com.
StoryworthyMedia.com for all of your media needs.
Yes, exactly.
All right, you guys, hang tight because Dean Hagelin is on his way up. Guys, come on down to the Storyworthy Hour of Truth with Christine Blackburn the second Saturday of each month at Io West in Hollywood.
Yes, it is perhaps the greatest show in the history of mankind. I don't mean to oversell it. It's the greatest show in the history of mankind.
You're overselling
Io West,
it.
It's on Hollywood Boulevard. Huh? Come on, the home of true entertainment and homeless people.
All right, you guys, it's the second Saturday of every month, 8 o'clock, Io West. It's 5 storytellers in 1 hour at no cost to you. Head on over to StoryworthyPodcast.com for more information.
All right, we're back, and Dean is here. It's a hologram. It's a hologram of Dean that we recorded because we're very technically savvy. We record all of our storytelling in hologram form.
Dean Hagelin is such a great guy. You know what he does now, Hannes? He takes people into downtown Los Angeles and he does these private tours for people. And he'll point out buildings, but he's got his iPad with him. So he'll point out, like, different places in Los Angeles that were in different movies.
Yeah.
So you can look at it on his iPad and then look across the street and see that building.
Yeah.
And he tells these fascinating stories.
That's one of the things when I first moved to Los Angeles is seeing things that you've been watching on television shows your whole life. I remember the most exciting one to me was Pasadena City Hall, which had been the capital building of a small South American country in one of my favorite episodes of Mission Impossible.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. We're going
to send Marcos and we have to get rid of the Fidel Marcos or something. And it's like, here we are. And it's like, that's Pasadena City Hall. What the hell? And now Pasadena City Hall is the city hall in Parks and Recreation.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
When you watch TV and movies with people who live in Los Angeles or in the entertainment industry, they're bound to tell you where different locations are. I mean, it's just like,
yeah,
you
even
see
if they're not
places,
in the business, they're right. Still like, oh yeah, Jim Rockford drove past here once.
Jim Rockford, good one. All right, you guys, Dean Hagelin's up right now. He is an actor and a writer and a performer and an artist who, like we said, he starred on The X-Files and its spinoff show, The Lone Gunman. He was the Lone Gunman.
He was one of the three Lone Gunmen.
Yeah, yes. Exactly, one of the three Lone Gunmen.
As you will hear in the story, yes.
That's right. Also, Dean has a podcast, like you said, called The Chill Pack Hollywood Hour. It's very popular. You can find Dean over on Twitter at D Hagland. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Dean Hagland.
Thank you. Now, I played a computer hacker on TV, and played is the operative word. I didn't actually hack anything. I didn't actually get into any government facilities. I was an actor who had a keyboard that when I hit the buttons, a screen would come up that artists had already pre-created. Now, this is a very important fact because as the show became popular, hackers for real started talking to me, and they started coming into my life. And even now today, this is now how many years later? 20. It's been the 20th anniversary at Comic-Con this year of the X-Files first season. I can tell what country is rerunning the X-Files based on IP intrusion attacks on my website. So anytime these 13-year-old kids in Estonia see me, they go, hey, Dean Hagelin. They look me up and they go to my website and make it non-functional. And it happens over and over again. So this all started way back in 93. So 1993, I actually had my own website. I was hand coding HTML back when I think CompuServe couldn't even give you your name for your email. My first email was actually 1032.327 at CompuServe.com because they didn't have the ability to actually put your name. So that's how long I've been on the internet. And back then, hacking, the encryption was only like 64 bits. So if even you got into a website, all you could basically do was change the color. There was no, you know, that you couldn't do any transactions. There was no PayPal back then, any of that stuff. So I became like one of the first TV hackers. I was this focal point. And then I met online a lot of these guys that were doing it for real and jumped to 2001. The Lone Gunman spinoff happens, right? So now we have our own series. And my wife at that time was super paranoid. So she had made sure that the phone numbers and the deeds to all the rental places were all in her name. She kept her own last name, so my name wasn't included. And we're shooting the series up in Vancouver. And the very first week we're shooting, the phone rings in the apartment. She's at home by herself, picks it up, goes, yeah, is Dean there? She goes, who's this? I can't tell you. She's like, what? And then she hangs up the phone, right? She calls me at work. She goes, oh, my God. She had had caller ID, said, call this number. This guy somehow knows that we're living together. I don't know. This freaked her out. So I go into the production office. I go way into the back to a room that's not used. I call the number. It's San Francisco-based. I go, hi, this is Dean. He goes, hey, this is Isaac, you know, with Ninja Strike Force. Ninja Strike Force? Yeah, we're that hacker group. We're always at DEF CON, which is the big hacking convention in Vegas. Hey, yeah, I was just, you know, hey, wait, can I call you back on another line? Okay. So I hang up the phone, and just as I'm about to yell to the receptionist, you know, route that call through me, the phone rings in the office. Doesn't even somehow, he somehow bypasses the receptionist. I don't know how he does that. I go, how did you do that? He goes, dude, I'm a hacker. What do you think? I can do this sort of thing. So like now freaked out, I go, okay, so what do you want? What are you going to do to me? Because no, I was just wondering if you would wear our t-shirt on the show. Yeah, we got this really cool Ninja Strike Force t-shirt. It'd be really cool if Langley wore that shirt in an episode. I'm like, yeah, okay, send it up. I mean, it was a load off your mind, but holy smokes, the lengths that this guy went through, right? So this carried on from time to time, and there would be different things. So every time I would set up a website, then suddenly the pages would not be functioning. Suddenly you would click on something, it would go to a completely different site, and I would have to take out the links. And then I actually hired a security firm for $200 a month to like prevent any of this thing from happening, and it still happened. They somehow went past this whole thing, so it was a big waste of money. So then I get to last year, 2012. I go to a convention in Colorado Springs, Colorado, right? And it's a massive pop culture sci-fi convention, many stars there, and it's run by a guy who used to work at NORAD. He has RS-23 security clearance, and he was a PHP programmer for NORAD and done the whole thing. So he had just retired, and now as his retirement thing, was running sci-fi conventions. Now, the sci-fi convention was run by a board, and the board insisted that they do WordPress so that everybody can be involved in creating the website. And that also included the website, a bunch of different PayPal buttons that had donate now and buy tickets to this show and see this autograph and that sort of thing. So he was a little resistant, but, you know, he agreed to the board, and he sets up that website. So I tell him all of my stories of Ninja Strike Force and all these hackers and Estonian teenagers bugging me all the time and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yeah, whatever, thinking like I'm just, you know, pulling his leg or whatever. And on Saturday afternoon, I'm in my room in between events, and I get a call from him. And he goes, dude, are you in your room? Yeah, I'm in my room. Okay, I can't tell you this over the phone. Just in the hotel. I can't tell you this over the phone, so I'm coming to your room. And he hangs up, and he knocks on my door 2 minutes later, and he goes, okay, so I thought you were bullshitting me, but the FBI is here because our website got hacked, and it got hacked really well. We traced it it's been filtered through Sri Lanka, like the IP addresses. They're doing some sort of clever funneling thing. And it turns out that if you put too many PayPal buttons on your site, you can triangulate the bank account. So they got in the bank account and withdrew $3,000, basically stole $3,000 from the convention. So that's why the FBI had to come. And the FBI said, listen, what we're going to need is the IP addresses and a log sheet, like a log rollout of all the people that have been in the site. Okay, so he gets in and he types that out. And as it's coming out, there's thousands of all these numbers. And then in between a big blank space, it just says, say hi to Dean Haglin for us. And then more IP addresses. And it's like, Dean Haglin's not a real hacker. And then more IP addresses. And it's like, Dean Haglin is not as cute as Gillian Anderson. Like, it just went taunting me all through this, knowing full well that the FBI was going to have to look at this. And he said, holy shit, I thought you were kidding. Yeah. But now I'm totally afraid. Like, he was like totally freaked out. And he said, I hate to say it, but you're never coming back to convention here because you seem to be the target of that sort of thing. And then he gave me a number of a guy who does security for Wall Street. And I emailed that guy and I said, look, I can't specify exactly what the problem is, but I have these hackers from around the world that just know me and a thing. And he said, yeah, I can't really help you. And these security guys even know that it's a cat and mouse game and that, you know, you would think playing a hacker on TV would be the sort of thing that would get you all these accolades and all. And in fact, it makes you a target, which is kind of a double-edged sword.
And we're back. That is such an awesome story. And that the hackers for years are still after him.
Yeah.
And he always knows what country they're running X-Files in because that's the country that starts hacking him next.
That crazy. Is the craziest thing.
Yeah, that it's like, and you know, and now in light of the Sony hacking, mm-hmm. you know, thing, a debacle of a few months ago, it's like, it's amazing to me that there's any security at all online.
Well,
you
there's
know what
so
I mean?
You can get so close now to celebrities, people in the news, anybody really, you know, via all the social media. It's everything's pretty much out there.
Yes, and it's in the cloud, as they say, It's not in your phone.
Yeah,
it's
somewhere
else.
Yeah, it used to be like celebrities and stars. It was all about keeping their privacy, and you got to go through their PR people or their agents and managers. And now it's almost like everybody just wants to be out there to get the right message out rather than.
And now, even if you are, say, an actor who wants to be private, you literally can't.
Right.
Like, you can't let somebody else take your name and make a Twitter account. You have to have, you know, the real George Clooney,
the real
this. And it's like, just so that you can control it. And I love it when people get mad that, like, you know, some actor like tweets something. It's like, he's not tweeting it. He's hired somebody, perhaps storyworthymedia.com, but he's hired somebody to do it.
Some people do their own social media and some people hire it out. It depends on who you're talking about.
If the actor is over 40, they probably have hired somebody else.
It depends, again, because like Patton Oswalt, of course, does all his own
stuff.
That's
not the same thing.
No, but I'm just saying there's a lot of people who are over 40, you know, who are putting
out whatever Robert De Niro's Twitter account is.
I see what you're
Robert De Niro is not sitting and tweeting.
Yeah, that I believe.
He's somewhere drinking a very nice red wine and saying, you know, I used to make really good movies a little bit.
Hey, you guys, find Dean Haglin over on Twitter, especially if you need a private tour of Los Angeles. He really knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, and how much fun is this guy? He's awesome.
At D. Haglund. All right, you guys, we're going to wrap it up right about now. I want to thank everybody here at Sideshow Network, including Maria Sfertilosi, and, of course, John Thomas Griffith. You know, he wrote the theme song to Storyworthy.
I do know that. This is the one episode where I'm going to say it.
That's right. Good, I like that. And on behalf of our storytellers tonight, Mike Schmidt and Dean Haglund, and, of course, you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn.
Thank you. Oh no, I've been hacked.
My name is Christine Blackburn saying, make it the story with you. That you can follow me, follow me. I'll take you down to the river. Follow me, follow me. I'll keep you safe. Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
Some major office supply stores are closing their doors, but Walmart has low prices on supplies you need to keep your business running smoothly. Like 2 packs of Papermate ClearPoint mechanical pencils on rollback for $4.77, 400-count Post-it notes cube on rollback for $3.97, and 25-yard Scotch heavy-duty packaging tape dispenser for just $2.88. Plus, Walmart's got great prices on things like copy paper, printers, and more. For all your office supply needs, save money, live better. Walmart.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny and I love you.